Do any of you remember what it was like when you were little? Do you remember when you were little and your dad was the greatest superhero you knew of? I remember those days, and maybe you do too. However, some of you listening to me today do not have a memory like mine, because some of you did not have an earthly father, or you had a poor earthly father. So in order for you to understand my sermon today, it is necessary that I take a moment to talk to you about my father. My father, or more commonly known as Daddy, was a pretty cool fellow. I still to this day do not know anyone who is as smart as my daddy, or as reliable. Daddy also was the fellow who taught me what true love was. He was the person who would be there for you, even when you made a huge mess of things, even if you should have known better. Daddy was the person you wanted there when you made a huge mistake, because he always seemed to have a way to say it will get better tomorrow. I am very blessed because I had a godly, earthly father. In three distinct places in the Bible, the word Abba is applied to God. The first one is from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 32 and 33. I want to share with you exactly what the word means, and what it means not only to me, but what it should mean to you as well. Abba is basically daddy in Aramaic, and we are told that we have the same rights to God as Jesus. For Jesus, God was daddy everywhere he went. But it is most evident in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see that in that garden he knew not only he was going to die, but Jesus knew he would die very painfully, and that he would be beaten and mocked and left to suffocate there on a cross when his arms became too painful to pull himself up for another breath. And in that garden he asked his daddy, not some distant God that he couldn't touch, but his daddy, if it was possible to rescue him from what awaited. The next place we see God referred to as daddy is in Romans chapter 8, where we read, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, I want you to think about this one. God is a daddy who will not disown you because of something you've done. Now please don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to make sin of no consequence. I am saying, however, that even in our sin, we have a God, a daddy God, who is pursuing us, who wants us to come home to him no matter what we did wrong. And the third place that the Bible uses Abba is the book of Galatians, chapter 4. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Here again we hear the word Abba or Daddy. We are told we have a spirit who calls on the Daddy God on our behalf. Can you imagine being able to have someone who never makes mistakes and always does the right thing, petitioning your Father for you? Only a very loving God would give us perfect representation, so perfect that when we don't know what to say, Scripture says the Holy Spirit speaks to our Daddy God for us. And finally, the last example I would like to share with you is from the first book of John, chapter 3. Here we are reminded once again that God wants to be our Father. What marvelous love God has extended to us. Look at it. We are called the children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously. Because it has no idea of who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is this, that when Christ is openly revealed, we will see him. And in seeing him, we will become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. Now, my friends, I want you to think for a moment. The Bible states that Jesus came not for some, but for all. Now, that means you. And if Jesus came to reconcile you to his Father, it also means he came to make you a son or a daughter of his Father, God. And it means that you inherit everything Jesus did. Come on now. You're rich beyond measure, and you never even told me. Amen.